B-Pod Studios.
Boston's home for sports. Turner and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just so there won't be any confusion, call me Rod.
Whoa.
This test looks pretty hard. I heard if you don't pass it, you can't go on the class trip. Instead of taking history, let's make some history. Now everybody pick up your test. Do what I do. Woo-hoo!
I love this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub. That, of course, is Rod Belding. Mr. Belding's wild brother on Saved by the Bell. At 6 o'clock, I delighted the audience by encapsulating the episode of the where Rod Belding was the substitute teacher. But it got us on. So Rod Belding, I won't get into it, but he's like a cool guy. Ends up letting the kids
He was
down.
Like a substitute, right? He ended up being cool teacher.
Yeah, he was going to take him on a river raft. But it got us talking, and Rich asked if any of us had had a cool teacher.
No, not a cool teacher. Has anyone ever had cool teacher?
Okay, cool teacher. Yeah, you're
There's
right.
a difference.
Because I never did.
Okay, you never
all my teachers sucked.
You never had the guy that like tried to like talk like the kids do? And, like,
no.
Hey, man.
No, they all just sucked.
Oh, okay, well, I mean, just quickly one more time. Just, there was a student council field trip that we were going on. It was on a Saturday, so we met Saturday morning at the school, and all of us were supposed to get on this bus, and we're going to go to like this lake and come up with student council stuff, whatever. So I show up. And everyone starts getting on the bus, and the assistant principal walks over to me. And as I said, he looks exactly like Dwight Schrute. And he comes over to me and is like, hey, man, don't ride the bus. Why don't you ride with me? I got some tunes in the car. And I was like, all right, man. So I get in the car, and he goes, what do you like? You like rock and roll? Check out these cassettes. Just choose what you want. I got a little Metallica, got a little Halen, and it's like the Black Album, so I knew he was a poser. And then he was like, I got a little this, and he puts it Enter Sandman. I'm like, all right. Meanwhile, my friends are on the bus.
Yeah, like, do you want to ride with me to listen to music? No. I want to be with my friends effing around.
Yeah,
and like, how would I possibly listen to music without being in your car?
Oh, yeah. And he was, like, trying to talk about the bands of the day, and they were just all the war. And I'm like, oh, man, what are we doing here?
617-779-0985. Did you have cool teacher?
And the guy was trying to, like, listen, I know what's hip on the streets.
Because in my mind, if I went into a school, like, because teaching seems like a great gig. Because it doesn't pay anything. But if you had money and you get your summers off and you get pensioned and everything. I'm like, in my mind, I'd be like, I'd go and I'd be like, dude, I interviewed Dave Grohl. Like, you know, I saw the Beastie Boys. Like, I interviewed them on stage.
Right.
And the kids would be like, shut up, you stupid old man. I don't care about anything that you have to say. Because I would assume I was cool.
Sure.
Like, I'd come in, I'd be like, you know, I've lived a life.
You're Billy Madison showing up at school on
right,
the first
right,
day.
Right, with an REO Speedwagon, sure.
Right, that would be you.
Like, I used to bang strippers.
No. The one thing I did have that legitimately was cool was that I had a teacher whose brother was a roadie for Tesla.
Well, how come he wasn't teaching with that degree?
All right. Yeah. And one day she brought me a Tesla guitar pick, and I was like, oh, I'm going to make it a necklace.
A roadie for Tesla. What a dream come true. Did you have the cool teacher?
Did you have the guy who was just like, hey, somebody tweeted earlier and said there was a teacher that refused to be called by anything but Sir Joe.
All right. Okay. All right, you know what? While we wait for calls, let me tell you about Sir Kyle.
Okay, which made me think there was a guy that Fred and I used to work with, who called himself Sir Kyle, spelled K-Y-L, and at his home, he had an entire suit of armor that he had on his
display. Okay, so this guy didn't work for our radio station, but he was at everything.
Oh, that's right. He didn't technically work. He was just like a guy who was like, why is he here?
617-779-0985. Because what happened, a guy that used to work at our station, Mike Key, just sent me a bunch of old pictures of the station and like me in the station with bands. And Sir Kyle would just be this like little face in the background. And so, it occurred to me, I'm like, he didn't work at the radio station. So he would tell stories like he was Indiana Jones. And then he's like, I went to Egypt and I'm climbing this mountain and I'm hanging.
Sir Kyle.
And he goes, and I'm hanging by my fingers. And I think this is a movie, but I realize, no, 'tis not a movie. And I'm like, yeah, Kyle, you weigh 400 pounds. So he went, he inexplicably for free was at some event. And I picked up some like ugly girl and took her back to Kyle's house. And Kyle had a full suit of armor in his like one bedroom apartment. And I'm like hooking up with this chick.
In the middle of that, you're just like this clanging.
I got a cab out of there quick. So I'm like hooking up with this girl, and I just keep seeing Kyle's eyes.
So Kyle is hungry. Sir Kyle I have conquered the Vermonster.
Sir Kyle needs a hot pocket.
20 scoops of Dove ice cream, Rocky Road. I shall slay it. In this souvenir bucket of thine.
Sir Kyle may take a peek while you have your maiden on my couch. Oh,
and he used to do that, too, for everything. He used to take pictures of, like, creepy stuff at clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing like going with a girl into some dude's apartment and they have a full suit of armor. Yeah, Sir Kyle. I'm not even proud of what he did for a living.
Just creep people out, apparently.
Sir Kyle has lots and lots of dandruff.
Sir Kyle of the Rosy Palms.
Sir Kyle has very soft hands. Never mind the hair growing from Sir Kyle's palms. Oh, Sir Kyle, these are so inside. Sir Kyle is stalking Dino.
Dino?
He used to always go to Organic X and like fall in love with like Dino. Oh, you guys don't get anything we're talking about. All right, Gaines, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, I was just calling. Hi, Al. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I was just calling about the cool teacher story. I had a guy in high school who kind of like thought he was one of the students, but he was just old and pretty douchey. But he had in his classroom, he had like, instead of like world maps and stuff, he had like U2 posters and like a Bob Dylan up there, you know, and he always like, you know, instead of like talking from the chalkboard, he always like threw a knee up on the desk, you know, like,
yeah, like, hey, we're just rapping. Like, hey,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Like he's just hanging out. He's one of the guys. And like, you know, Fridays would roll around and he'd be like, yeah, like, what are you guys up to this weekend? Oh yeah. You going to drive around? I'm like, it's almost like he was waiting for someone to invite him to hang out with, you know, to go to the keg party. But, yeah, I just thought I'd share that with you guys.
Thank you. I just like the idea that it's like, wait a second, this guy's got music band posters up.
Somebody said back in the late 90s, we had two teachers used to show up to our keg parties. We were 16 and 17.
Oh, well, that's illegal.
It's not good.
That is not good. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, this professor, this is actually in college, and I took him multiple times. He would show up and show us his different Rolexes and kick back and play the entire Matrix series, and we would, no matter what the subject was, he'd find a way to bring it into class, and we literally wasted half the semester.
That just sounds like drunk teacher, didn't want to work.
That sounds like flask teacher.
Right.
It sounds like don't smell my coffee cup teacher. Just like how he would. Did he think like that you guys were going to think he was great because he showed you the Matrix? He wasn't like all the other guys?
Oh yeah, pretty much. His hair was out of control, and he just kicked back, and it was hysterical. It was probably the easiest day of my life.
All right, don't worry about the phones, bro. Don't
answer. We said I had a Spanish teacher that told us he invented surfing because he worked for cartel members in Cuba and had to smuggle coke from Cuba to America, so he'd hide coke in his board and ride it to America.
Wait, what?
It's a teacher said he invented surfing because he used to work for cartel members in Cuba. Okay.
All right. So first of all, there's nothing like the waves off the coast of Key West. So the idea is that the boat would take him to the break of the wave.
Yep.
About, you know, 100 yards offshore.
Yep.
And then they would drop him off. Yeah. So he could ride it in.
Yeah, right. But it was filled with coke, so, you know, it wouldn't sink. Somebody said, is Sir Kyle a medieval Sarge?
No, that's an insult to Sarge. Sir Kyle has flakes of dandruff the size of small children. Jason, go ahead. Jason.
My high school teacher, her cousin was the drummer for Fish.
Yeah.
He had the Fish poster, would play Fish music. I thought you'd like that one, Fred.
You should have sued the school. You should have told the town so they could arrest her.
That I know somebody who had cool. It was actually my sister. She had cool college professor.
Yeah,
and he's like, I just want to tell you, you know, we don't do things normally around here. As a matter of fact, if you want to get extra credit, show up to class naked.
Really?
Oh my God. I think he was fired the next year.
Oh my God! If you did that, now they burn you at the stake.
Yeah, like he said. He said, "Listen, you want extra credit? Just show up naked." And like nobody laughed.
Oh, that's
it was like egads.
They tie you up in the middle of campus and light you on fire now.
Yes, they would.
All right. Lots to talk about. What do you want to come up? What do you want to do next? There's so much going on.
Oh, I mean, part of me wants to let Wallach bitch about the Hall of Fame.
Yes, let's do that. But you have to do it in a Tim Kurchin voice.
Yes, you can only bitch as Tim Kurchin.
But right. Kurchin was in favor of this, so this is going to be hard.
All right. We will be back. Yes, they did have the Hall of Fame voting. We will quickly touch on that.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
Real quick, just to wrap this up, put a bow on it. We got a couple tweets about people who had the cool teacher. One said, in high school, I had a substitute teacher, Gus, who dressed like Lionel Richie in the Dancing on the Ceiling video with big, bright, white high tops. This was in 1995, mind you. And then someone else tweeted and said, I had a teacher back in 2011 that truly thought the world was going to come to an end in 2012 because of the Mayans. Stopped teaching class and you could see the fear in his eyes. One day he just said, no point in teaching you. None of it matters. Comes January 1st.
And no one alerted the school that there was a madman in their midst? All right, Rich, you were the guy who had the teacher with the Coke?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was the deal with this guy?
Well, you got to know. I got to tell you what he looked like first, because he was about 5'1", with bald on top and a really small ponytail in the back.
He was like Danny DeVito in Twins.
And he wasn't even really my teacher. He was a friend of mine's teacher, but he would tell everybody the story, whether you were his teacher or not. So he told us that he invented surfing, and when everybody would laugh at him, go, yeah, right. He would go, no, really, seriously, because what I would do was, I worked for the cartel, I think it was Mexico or Cuba, somewhere around there, and he said that he would put he got a board and put the bricks of coke in it, and then would get on the board and ride it from Cuba or wherever to America.
So you've been in a raft then.
Yeah. A paddle board, if you will. Yeah. A large paddle board.
He surfed the 90 miles from Cuba to Key West.
So, yeah, that's what he would tell us. Exactly.
Did he realize that there is information out there that could easily dispel his saying that you could find out that's not true?
I think he just hoped we wouldn't bother, like, because we thought he was so cool, we would just assume he was telling us the truth.
Well, if he was bald with a ponytail, I got to tell you that you knew he was cool. Unless you're like a conductor, that's illegal.
A conductor? Sure, I guess that's the... Or you're in like a Rush cover band or something like that.
Or you're a magician.
Or a magician, that could work. Well, listen, there's always one a-hole, right?
I mean, I could care less, to be quite honest with you. I mean, it takes a lot of votes to get into the Hall of Fame. And to get that many people to all agree is pretty difficult to do. So, you know, I don't think about that. You know, it's a complete honor to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's because the box next to Jeter's name was checked on 396 of the 397 ballots, easily surpassing the 75%, but still having one vote shy of being unanimous, like his friend Mariano Rivera. It's not immediately known which voter opted out, but once we find out, whoo, boy, is he going to be the belle of the ball.
Yeah.
TV spots galore.
It's going to be one of these, like, guys that's still in the BBWA, but, like, he's kind of not writing anymore.
That's right. He hasn't been to a ballpark in about 5 years.
No, I don't know about that. He might be, you know, crawling around, like, in the press box. But, yeah, he's going to be one of these guys that doesn't write.
He did edge out Wallach's favorite guy, Ken Griffey Jr., for the highest by a position player, which was 99.3%. And only one other player got the call, former Expos and Colorado Rockies outfielder Larry Walker, who just squeaked in with 76.6% in his final year. Now, you might say, what the hell? But there was one amazing thing about his call.
Sir?
I'm calling to let you know that you did not fall short this time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah!
Okay, so in that moment, his friends and family are all gathered around him waiting for what might be the biggest moment of his professional life, and my man opts to wear a SpongeBob SquarePants shirt. Now, I'm not talking no T-shirt that you get at Newberry Comics. This is a high-quality button-up with enormous SpongeBob patches and embroidery. You wear the finest threads for your induction, my friend.
Canadian sense of humor striking.
I saw him doing interviews all day yesterday where he was wearing that exact same shirt. Wear that sumbitch to Cooperstown. Show it off to Eck.
I don't know if you're buying those Kyrie SpongeBobs. You're spending some money. But, all right, go ahead, John.
Real quick, I just do want to mention, because this might be part of it, Kurt Schilling once again spending another year accusing the BBWA of being snowflakes.
Oh, please,
he falls short. He's going to get in there.
He said he tweeted out yesterday he didn't think he was going to get in. This is Schilling. I think Walker tweeted that out too. But Schilling tweeted out yesterday he thought, and this is 2 hours before the vote became official, so it's like 4 p.m. He said he didn't think he was going to get in. He has no beef. He thought he was going to come up short again.
Well, he's going to – the only reason you guys brought it up yesterday that it would be good if he makes the Hall of Fame is his stupid speech.
In the summer. Yeah, 25 uninterrupted minutes of Schilling.
But they he's narcissistic enough that he'd write it himself without anyone checking.
That's what would make it beyond awesome.
It would be like Ray Lewis.
We got two more years. He's got up for 2 more years.
Him talking about how great he was. Because remember, when he was a kid – he was considered an idiot. So, like, there's never been a time where he wasn't considered an idiot. Like the book on him was he was incredibly dumb. Like, didn't he, like, dye his hair and stuff? Not that it makes you dumb.
Oh, I don't remember that.
But, like, yeah, he was, like, considered a moron when he was, like, a young prospect. So, I mean, you take that guy and you give him, like, you know, I did it despite, you know, snowflakes and this and that. Oh, and maybe he can get into his humanitarian work. That would be fantastic.
By the way, is Colin Cowherd a member of the BBWA?
Why?
Because he tweeted, "I didn't vote for Derek Jeter. Was never really that clutch. More later."
No, I think that's him attempting to be funny. What that is.
Okay, maybe. I don't know, but
I think that's him just attempting.
Yeah, but he's getting in next year. I mean, Kurt Schilling will get in. Oh, and by the way, his speech is going to be hysterical. Roger Clemens, Manny Ramirez also didn't make the cut. Yes, John. So
first of all, everyone says, well, why do you care so much? Well, baseball was my thing. When I was younger, I was a baseball fan first, and the Hall of Fame means a lot to me. I've been there a couple of times. I really enjoy it. Not as much as Dan Roach. I didn't baptize my kid in the bathroom or anything, but I really enjoy it. And Larry Walker was good. It was really good. You know, 5 All-Stars, 7 Gold Gloves. But if you look, the bulk of his great performance was in Colorado when balls were being launched out of Coors Field. And you look at his time in Montreal and later in St. Louis, you know, 20 homers, 80 RBIs, it's fine. Good enough to hit 3rd or 5th or 6th at any lineup, but not a Hall of Famer. And this is a classic case of baseball writers, and we see it with awards every year. They overthink the crap out of things. And Larry Walker's entering the final year of eligibility. There weren't a lot of good candidates out there that were steroid, non-steroid guys. So everyone has 10 votes, and like, you know what? Larry Walker is really good. He's close enough. Let's let him in. There's no reason he should be in the Hall of Fame. But again, Harold Baines is in, and he was even less deserving.
Yeah,
so
but
I guess
Baines
the
was,
bar is being lowered every year.
Harold Baines was forced to wear that White Sox uniform for a while. Should we get Danny Roach on?
No. I love. Listen, I always
one
love
baseball
Danny Roach
nerds
on.
Enough per show?
No. I'll have him on for almost any reason, but I mean, the Baseball Hall of Fame always bores me.
Just have him wax fun. Philosophical.
I mean, we could. I mean sure.
Just have him. I mean, not talk about his opinions on who got in.
Sure, I guess that's a decent point.
Like, you know, like how he feels. Let's see if we can get Danny Roach on the phone and see how he feels about, like, how Larry Walker must feel today. Because Derek Jeter knew he was getting in, but maybe Dan could tell us and take us through the emotions that Larry Walker must be feeling.
Just awful what the writers do. Let's look at his WAR and his run saved. He wasn't a Hall of Famer. Use your eyes. He was really good, but not a Hall of Famer. Fred, I know you agree with me on this.
Yeah, unless you were a star, I don't care. I mean, Larry Walker.
And he wasn't. He wasn't a star.
A fashion star.
He was a star in Colorado when the air was thin and they didn't use the humidor.
No.
Todd Helton, who, if you look it up, Todd Helton's numbers are very similar, and he didn't come close.
Larry Walker was also a good guy. Oh, wow. That is a SpongeBob NASCAR shirt.
It almost looks like a racing.
Turn that around.
How much does that bad boy cost?
Let's see. I'm looking it up right here. That is, it says $19.99, but
those plucky Canadians are hilarious, aren't they?
It says, ain't no ordinary sponge.
Gosh.
And then his hat says, Garth Brooks teammate.
Well,
I kind of like this guy.
Then Garth Brooks got like he's like, I got a little NASCAR situation happening.
I guess so.
All right. Well, listen. Well, there you go, Johnny.
$20 SpongeBob shirt.
I can't stand it.
For the biggest moment of his life.
Listen, the man, he's just a child at heart. It's a kid's game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're just out there snapping the glove, playing on the grass. That's all it is.
He didn't take it off for any of his interviews.
What if someone wore a Who Farted shirt?
I mean, that would be best. If they put Booger in the Hall of Fame for Revenge of the Nerds, you'd be all set.
Well, no, Booger did he had too much sag and collar. Like, yeah. Booger didn't use fabric softener.
When Frank Kona goes to the Hall of Fame as a manager, he'll wear that Popeye shirt.
The blow me down one with down covered.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, or he'll just do it from the toilet. Mr. Frank Kona, how you feeling?
It's a fishing shirt, somebody said.
Okay.
That makes it
much better.
It's a SpongeBob fishing shirt.
Yeah, that's much better.
I want to hang out with this guy.
Listen, everyone loves him. All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
You're old enough to understand political correctness in the times that we live now. You can't just slap people on the booty. Of course, he probably knows it's not right from a man to a woman or a woman to a man, but you can't even do that locker room thing. That cop wasn't playing that. I mean, you're lucky you only got battery. What if he filed for sexual assault?
You could tell the whole time she was struggling. And I guess the show is live.
Oh, well, that explains a few things.
Yeah, because I watched the clip and I'm like, that is indisputable.
I mean, we had a bunch of people yesterday who were saying, hey, guys, why haven't you taken Wendy Williams to Far Court? And I forgot we did it on Monday when everyone's off and nobody's listening.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, so she was found guilty on all counts. I mean, there was no question about that one. I mean, this was a hands down unanimous and also probably one of the wettest ones of all time. I mean, there's no question. So Far Court, that was a quick adjournment on that one. We got to the bottom of that fairly quick. But
okay, all right. So we're going to play something for Snooker. But I wish this guy was still alive, but you'll see why he died in 56. His name was Bill Werbenioik or something like that. And during his snooker matches, he would consume 6 pints before the match and then 1 pint for each frame. He drank between 40 and 50 pints of lager per day.
Oh, my God. So snooker is I don't understand how you play it. It's set up almost like pool, all right? But there's a ton of red balls, and I think you have the cue ball, and I don't know what the other thing is, but the rules are very strange.
Right.
Do you understand it?
I'm not, foreign, but you can drink during it is all I know.
Yep.
And then you could drink 40 to 50 pints of beer a day.
And much like the tournaments of pool that you see on TV, it's a lot like golf. You have to be very, very quiet. It's not like being in a real pool hall, but you want to make sure that these gentlemen are, and they are gentlemen. A lot of these guys are wearing like suits and they got to, be really concentrate to make sure they hit it right. So somebody, I guess this is in England because it's on the BBC.
I'm assuming this is in England.
This is a live broadcast on the BBC. This is the snooker finals. And if it's on BBC, that means it's probably a lot of people are into this.
I would imagine that because they have darts. I mean, people are super into darts.
Oh, sure. But I mean, I guess this is a big deal because it's a big arena they're in too.
No, it's a big deal.
So it's the snooker finals, nationally televised. And this happens.
And yeah, there's a great rivalry between these two. It's been there for a long time since they were junior players together. So neither will want to be losing this match.
It was a clever little shot, that.
That's enough. Can you stop that now, please?
You know, ordinarily with a shot like this, you can just drop into the side of the pack, but as you can see, the way those reds are spread, can't do that. Played to the back one.
Now, is this someone from the audience?
Yes.
So they're just making fart noises. To the point where one of the refs goes, could you please stop that? He yells to the crowd. And it continues.
Is it while the guy's shooting?
Yes. It's right as he rears back.
Snooker. How dangerous.
And
the same thing as the other day.
Seems to be a problem at the minute in the auditorium.
I think it's just one person, because Ben Moore said same as the other day. So if they spot him, he'll have to go.
It's up that area somewhere. It's up this area.
It's John from Vegas.
The refs and the players are like pointing into the crowd trying to find out where the fart's coming from.
What if it was the guy really had a problem?
Go back about 10 seconds, because they're all pointing out into the crowd. And like, the game has stopped because the farts will not cease.
It's just one person, because Ben Moore said same as the other day. So if they spot him, he'll have to go.
It's up that area somewhere. It's up this area.
I think it might be someone with a whoopee cushion. Can you believe it?
Now the audience has been won over.
it's
not going to. There's no way you get booed.
Right. He is restrained from doing it when they pull back the stick, and now it's when they're straight up looking for him.
He's playing chicken. He's like, oh yeah, baby.
come and get me.
This is where you get the high when they're looking for you. But the crowd's never going to turn on you if you're the guy with the fart machine. No, everyone's a little respect for the guy with the fart machine.
That's without a doubt. No question.
I mean, what are these guys, 85, a whoopee cushion? I mean, come on. Technology has moved so far from
right,
that.
Right. He's probably got a remote control. That thing's probably nowhere near the guy who's controlling
it. It's like a 007.
Right. You slid it under a chair in the 200 section. You're over in 306.
Yeah, one of these snooker guys is a Russian spy, and he's distracting him with a fart machine.
I think it might be someone with a whoopee cushion. Can you believe it? That's all we need. But if they find him, he's gone.
Yeah, someone's planted it somewhere. Just couldn't send to it. Right, settle down now, please. That's enough.
It's been marvellous the whole week here. The crowd at Alexander Palace has been superb.
I like how the guys won't reference what's going on. They're too classy.
They're talking about how great the crowd is, and meanwhile, someone in that crowd is cranking a fart machine when the guy's rearing back to hit the ball. I mean, so the guy who did it ended up posting a video. And I guess it was two dudes. It was one guy and another one. I guess in case one got busted, there was a backup.
But one That's was genius.
But
by
one
the way.
Was filming his friend, and it was so obvious who the guy was with the fart machine, because he's sitting by himself in the upper left corner, and he's all disheveled and schlubby. He's just like, and you could just see him just press the button.
Dan's telling me there's 10,000 people.
I just Googled it. The capacity, it says, is 10,000.
10,000
to watch a snooker match.
10,400. Okay.
And the whole place ended up losing it.
Yeah, you're a winner. There's no, what, are you going to get mad at the guy?
John from Vegas just tweeted, I feel like I'm hearing the Beatles for the first time.
Yeah. John from Vegas, get back on your game.
That's all we need, but if they find him, he's gone.
Yeah,
Yeah, someone's planted it somewhere.
It was like an elephant-sounding one.
I'd like to know the condition those guys were in when they plotted this scheme.
I'd say fairly sober.
You know what? Let's go out there with some fart machines. Give them a little squeaky-deaky-doo.
That's right, on the rummy tummy.
Hey, it's Cold Cuts McCartney.
Hide
it between two loaves of bread.
Cold Cuts McCartney, what are you doing here?
I remember we said Ringo. Just farting the microphone.
All right.
It sounds as good as your singing.
Okay, well, Cold Cuts McCartney, you're obsessed with sandwiches and fart machines?
I love mischief.
I said
one time to Ringo, I said, "Don't eat, it's too big, it's gonna give you gas."
And apparently
I said you're lactose intolerant, have you gone mad?
It was a clever little shop plan.
There's too
That's
much
enough. Can you stop that now, please?
There's too much Miracle Whip. It's gonna destroy his tummy. Ringo, you won't make it through the show.
What about a Dagwood? Would that solve the problem?
Oh, a Dagwood. You put a nice... Then you take a nap. You make one and you put an olive on it, on the toothpick, and then you eat it and take a nice nap. And then Daisy wakes you up.
If you would have told me that we were going to have an appearance by Cold Cuts McCartney this morning, yeah. I would have woken up with a smile on my face.
Oh, don't give him the cheese sandwich. No. Oh, stinky, stinky. Oh, you fouled it all up. His undies are going to look like a Pollock painting. It's too much Miracle Whip. It's a miracle if he doesn't break his rectum. All right, and with that, we will. With that, we'll take a break.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
All right. Well, proof that advertising on our station works, because I had a moment where I just heard a commercial that we ran, and I had to stop and go, yeah. What was that? Apparently, there's a certain band that's coming to town, and this band isn't playing the House of Blues. This band isn't playing the Orpheum. They're playing Gillette Effing Stadium. The band? Rammstein.
A sales guy just said how psyched he was for this.
Okay.
Like, how is this happening?
All I know is that I was like, how is Rammstein playing Gillette? And then I got to thinking, all right, now that I know Rammstein's playing Gillette, I have to go see Rammstein at Gillette. So
it's going to be an evil.
If you don't know who Rammstein is, they're this German like techno band, but their stage shows are nuts. I mean, the lead singer sets himself on fire and marches around stage. I mean, it's bat crap crazy. But it's also like who goes around and says their favorite band is Rammstein? Like, there's nobody that I know who's like, you know, I would live and die for Rammstein. And sure enough, I don't know enough people to fill Gillette. But I think that they did something brilliant, and that's they willed their way into being one of the must-see concerts of the summer, because now I've got to see what Rammstein's going to do at Gillette Stadium.
So I've been told that they have, like, the weirdest touring... The sales guy out there told me that they have, like, the weirdest touring schedule. Like, they play Montreal here, and then, like, some... Like, Texas.
Yeah, they have 10 dates planned on the stadium tour. They start off in Montreal on August 20th, and they end in Mexico City on September 12th. But they're going to be here on September 6th at Gillette Stadium. I mean, that's one of two things is going to happen. One, it's going to be absolutely nobody there, or they're going to have to move it to, like, Showcase Live next door. Or it's going to be a lot of people like me are like, dude, now I got to see this. I mean, because their stage shows have always been nuts. They've always had, like, a reputation, but no one's going to know any of the songs unless there's this really weird...
like
underground
subculture,
that I'm just not aware of. It was kind of like the one time I went out to Los Angeles and I saw a Morrissey concert, and it was as if the Beatles had just shown up.
Yeah.
Like men were throwing themselves at him.
Well, like Mexican like gangsters.
Yeah, like totally. Like the Latino, like it was packed. And
like
they,
these super tough guys
would die for Morrissey.
Or like just or get all emotional.
So is this like a weird thing, like as you said, a subculture that I'm not aware of where there's enough people to fill Gillette Stadium to see the Du Hast guys?
All right, well, Adam 12 says, he texted me, he said, they had to play Gillette because that's their only venue in the area that can handle their pyrotechnics.
Okay, so from what I'm hearing, there's a trailer.
Oh, the trailer's unbelievable.
That they put out for this Rammstein tour.
It's you know that the latest Mad Max movie that had Charlize Theron?
Oh, my God.
They're going to lose $1 billion.
It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's like they're standing on stage, and each member of the band has flames shooting out of them.
Out of like, their instruments, like, the guitars, and them.
But no, one guy is wearing what's like a jetpack that has five different like jets on the side of it, and it's like in a star shape shooting out of his back as he's playing.
Now, do they sing everything in German?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I know Du Hast. That's it. But I know that their stage shows are nuts, and I know that they use a lot of pyro. They're shooting cannons. Is there some subset that I don't know? But now I have to go. Now I have to go to this show.
When is it?
It's September 6th. Chances that it actually ends up being at Gillette Stadium, you think 100%?
I say 100%.
Because there was that big Diplo Super Mega Fun Tour thing that ended up getting canceled.
100%. Tickets on sale Friday.
How much are they charging for this? Because I really want to go see this now.
Adam also says they're the best live show I've ever seen.
I wouldn't doubt it for a second. Now I have to go.
Because it's not even about the music. It's about just... It's just like a movie.
Dan, one of you guys said it best.
And it's all in German.
It looks like you're watching the new Mad Max movie.
The guy was dangling from the guitar that played the guitar during the whole movie, and they just had him dangling from... It's a combination of that. It's insane.
I mean, you're not going to know any of the songs.
No. But I don't think that's the point. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I worked at the DCU Center. I was just selling beers. I don't know how many years ago, 5 years ago when they came. And a guy that I was selling with had almost had PTSD from working there with all the explosions going on. It was insane.
So it's just like constant fire and explosions?
Yeah, at one point I think the guy was in a cauldron and they were shooting like a flamethrower at him. And every time the flames came at him, he ducked. It was total mayhem. And I was in the same boat as you, Rich. I mean, I knew... Du Hast. I knew nothing about them.
Yeah.
But I will be going to the concert. Absolutely.
I mean, this sounds like it's now going to be like the must-see concert. I mean, of course, Motley Crue. But I mean, this
is... For different reasons. For different spectacles.
But you should just see... Because you're right, Fred. This has the potential to absolutely put them into bankruptcy for years to come. Because,
well, Mexico City, they'll sell out and there'll be a riot.
Of course.
Like every rock band that goes there, like Tesla could go there and it would cause a riot.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, this if their stage show is probably $1 million, and so you got to sell a lot of tickets.
Oh my God, it looks like what is an airplane that is hovering over the stage, and a guy shoots a fire cannon and sets it on fire.
Yeah, that's like $1 million stage show.
M&T Bank Stadium is where they had the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. In Minneapolis, and that's an indoor stadium.
What do you think the insurance for this tour is?
I don't. All I know is they're not making money. All I know is until they get to Mexico City, they ain't making a dime.
I mean, that's just okay. So I heard that commercial, and I'm like, Rammstein at Gillette.
Yep,
I am in.
All right, Billy Jaffe is going to join us. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.